Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a BreakLab Edit Jungle Base Wobble Stack from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it in a way that actually respects the mix. So this is not just about making something that sounds huge in solo. It's about building a bass system that locks with chopped breaks, hits hard in a DNB context, and still leaves you enough headroom to master later without fighting the low end. Now, the sound we're aiming for here is that layered, record-ready jungle and roller-style bass movement. Think sub-foundation, mid-range motion, grit and texture, and then controlled stereo width only where it makes sense. In jungle and darker drum and bass, the bass and drums have to behave like one machine. If the bass ignores the break, it feels generic. If the bass is built around the break, the whole thing starts to feel like an actual record section. So let's set the session up properly first. Start at 170 BPM. That's the sweet spot for this kind of exercise. Create one drum track or drum group for your break edits and then make a bass group with three layers, sub, mid, and grit. If you've got a reference track, bring that in too. It helps a lot to keep your ears calibrated while you're writing. And while we're building, keep an eye on the master. We want to stay conservative and leave roughly 6 dB of headroom. That's not a hard rule, but it's a really smart target when you're stacking low end. Load up a chopped break on an audio track. A classic 2-bar break loop works really well here. If you're slicing a full break, cut it at the transients and tighten it up with ghost hits and little fills. The reason we start with the break is simple. The bass needs to phrase around it. Jungle bass is never just a static line sitting on top. It's part of the rhythm section. Now let's build the sub layer first. Create a MIDI track and load operator. Keep it clean and simple. Oscillator should be a sine wave. No fancy harmonic mess here. This is your foundation. Give it a fast attack, short decay, full sustain, and a short release. Basically, make it punchy and controlled. If you need to, you can use utility after operator and keep the sub centered and mono. When writing the bass line, think short and intentional. In DNB, sub notes often hit harder when they're shorter than you think. Try 1-bar or 2-bar phrases. Use notes around the root, fifth, and octave if that suits the key. And most importantly, leave space. If the break has a strong snare on 2 and 4, don't crowd those hits. Let the drum breathe. The bass will feel heavier because of that space, not despite it. A useful coach note here. Tighten timing before you chase tone. A bass note that lands a little late can feel weak even if the sound itself is massive. So if something feels soft or lazy, nudge the MIDI or adjust the clip start until it snaps into the groove. Next, build the movement layer. Duplicate the MIDI clip to a new track and load Wavetable. This is where the wobble, restyle motion, and rhythmic identity come from. Start with two oscillators using saw-type waveforms or slightly different variations. Keep the detune modest. You want internal motion, not a blurry mess. A little unison can help, but don't overdo it, especially in the low end. Use a low-pass filter with controlled resonance. A good starting point is a cutoff somewhere in the 150 to 400 Hz zone, depending on how bright you want the layer. Resonance should stay moderate, not squealing. You're building tension, not a filter demo. Then add auto filter after Wavetable and use it for wobble control. Sync the movement to the groove with rates like quarter notes, eighth notes, or dotted eighths. The goal is to make it feel like the bass is breathing with the break, not randomly sweeping for drama. This is where note length becomes a really powerful groove tool. Shorter notes feel more urgent and percussive. Longer notes feel more pressurized and sustained. You can make the exact same patch feel like two different basses just by changing MIDI lengths. That's huge in jungle and DNB. Now let's add the grit layer. Duplicate the mid layer and make a third track for texture. This layer is not supposed to carry the sub. It's there to add harmonics, bite, and translation on smaller speakers. You want it to cut through the break without taking over the whole low end. A really solid stock Ableton chain here is Saturator, EQ8, maybe Redux, and then auto filter for movement. Try a few dB of drive in Saturator, then high pass the layer somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. If you want a harsher digital edge, add a touch of Redux. If you want a little more noise and attitude, Erosion can work too. The important thing is that this layer helps the bass read, especially when the drums are busy. Here's a really useful mindset. Think in lanes, not layers. Each bass layer should own a clear job. Sub is the lowest octave and foundation. Mid is motion. Grit is texture. If two layers are fighting in the same frequency pocket, simplify one instead of endlessly ecking the problem away. Once the three layers are working, route them into a bass group. On the bass group, keep the processing subtle and mix aware. Use EQ8 first to clean up anything unnecessary below about 25 to 30 Hz, because that's just wasted energy. If the low mids start getting cloudy, make a gentle cut somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. Then use glue compressor lightly, just enough to make the stack feel coherent. We're talking maybe 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. No need to squeeze the life out of it. Utility is also really handy here, so you can check mono compatibility and keep the sublock dead center. If you're tempted to widen everything, resist that urge. Keep the sub mono. Let only the mid and grit layers contribute width. And even then, keep it controlled. Now let's write the actual wobble phrase around the break edit. A strong DNB pattern usually works in two bar call and response shapes. For example, in bar 1, let the bass hit on the end of 1 and the end of 3, which leaves the snare space to speak. Then in bar 2, open the bass up with a longer note into the next downbeat. That contrast is really effective. It creates that push-pull feeling where bar 1 holds back and bar 2 answers. This is another place where timing matters. If the break is very active, simplify the bass rhythm. If the break is sparse, let the bass carry a bit more syncopation. The two should support each other, not compete. That balance is what makes it feel alive instead of cluttered. Now we bring in automation. Automate the cutoff on auto filter. Automate resonance if you want a little more tension at phrase ends. Automate saturator drive for a tiny lift on a fill. You can also automate the utility width on the grit layer if you want it to feel a little more open in a transition. Then narrow it back down in the main drop. And if you're using delays or reverbs on sends, throw a short effect onto the last note before a switch up. A really good rule here is not to automate everything at once. Pick one main motion control per phrase. A filter, distortion, stereo width, and sends are all moving constantly, the bass loses identity. Small, intentional changes usually sound much more professional than huge obvious sweeps. If you want the section to hit harder, use the second bar as the answer bar. That's a classic darker roller trick. Bar 1 stays more restrained, then bar 2 opens up. It makes the phrase feel intentional, and it gives the listener somewhere to go. Now let's talk about the drum and bass relationship in the mix. On the drum group, a little glue compressor or drum bus can help tighten the break, but be careful not to flatten it. The transient story matters. You want the snare snap, hat motion, and ghost notes to stay readable so the bass can sit into the gaps. If the bass and break are fighting, use gentle sidechain compression on the bass group keyed from the kick or the main transient channel of the break. Keep it subtle. Fast attack, groove-tuned release, and only a small amount of gain reduction. In jungle, too much sidechain can kill the momentum. At this point, if the bass system is working, print it. Create a new audio track and resample 4 to 8 bars of the bass group. This is a really important DNB workflow move, because once the bass is audio, you can treat it like sampled material. Chop it into fragments. Reverse one hit. Mute the sub on a fill. Slice a stab and use it as a transition marker before a drop. That's where the break lab energy really comes alive, because now the bass and break can both be edited like rhythmic material, not just played as instruments. A quick note on arrangement. Don't just build a loop. Build a phrase. Even if the sound design is the same, change the last two notes of every 8 bars. Or create a B variation with different rhythm density. In DNB, rhythmic variation often matters more than changing the actual notes. Before you rap, do the mastering aware check. Listen in mono. Check the low end against the break. Watch the low mids, especially around 120 to 300 Hz. Because that's where bass definition can get fobby fast. Also listen for harshness in the 2 to 5 kHz range, especially once the grit layer is active. And keep an eye on headroom. The master should still feel comfortable, not pinned. If the section feels crowded, reduce the grit layer before touching the sub. The sub is sacred. The upper layers are there to bring character and translation. That's the hierarchy. So to recap the workflow, build a mono sub with operator, add a moving mid layer with wavy double or analog, add a grit layer with saturation or redux, route everything to a bass group, keep the processing disciplined, write the line around the break, automate movement with restraint, then resample the result and edit it like auto. That's how you turn a wobble bass from a preset into a proper jungle and DNB drop system. If you can make the bass and break feel locked together in just 4 bars, you're on the right path, and once that groove works, the whole tune starts to feel like a real record instead of just a loop. All right, let's move on and build this thing.